welcome to another edition of Everyone Has a Story. I am your host, as always, Nate Wade, coming to you from the great state of Idaho, the great state that looks like an axe, the great state that looks like we've got a face on the eastern side of our border, the great state that has mountains and bears and lions and tigers and... No, it doesn't. It has mountains and bears and it has wolves. Yes, we have that evil wolf that most people around here want to kill. Yes, they hate the wolf. But I like the wolves. The wolves are cool. They sound funky. They scare the crap out of you when you're camping. And you hear them at 2 o'clock in the morning howling. That's an interesting thing. So we've... We got Caleb Shattuck on the show today. Called into the dungeon to share a little bit about his story, and we are certainly glad to hear it. He is the host of his own podcast, The Paranormal Burrito. And if you wondered why he came up with a title like The Paranormal Burrito, then don't worry, never fear, and listen, because he does answer that question why he calls it that. It's a fantastic podcast, and you would be great and wise to take a listen. Find that podcast, subscribe to it, do everything you need to do to support Caleb in his endeavors. Well, I don't have any political rants to go on this week, all right? I mean, nothing has changed. It's still kind of the same. I guess Kamala Harris is now the vice presidential pick for Joe Biden, and Trump is trying to take over the post office. And if you want to wear a mask, great. If you don't want to wear a mask, fine. Be stupid. Did I say that? Okay, that's probably going to get me in trouble, but whatever. So yeah, nothing's changed. It's all the same. So we're just going to move on to the podcast because Caleb has an awesome story, and I think you guys would rather listen to him than me either. A little warning on the subject matter coming up. It is a little bit more of a PG broadcast this week. So if you've got small little ones in the way, please make sure you kind of usher them out of the room before you listen to this podcast. We talk about that taboo subject matter. Sex, yes. We talk about sex. Okay, so I'm just warning you, fair warning. You've been warned. Please do not get after me if you listen to this podcast and go, what the heck is that? All right, because it's not that bad. Okay, and it's part of Caleb's story, and that's what matters. So without any further ado, except for this advertisement, here is Caleb's story on Everyone Has a Story.
Are you into top 10 lists? What about pop culture? Or maybe you're just a nerd like us. We've got a show for you, loser. Hi, I'm Nick.
I'm Brandon.
We're the hosts of the Tennis Podcast, a comedy and edutainment podcast covering a new top tennis list every week, including fun facts and trivia. We've covered lists such as the top 10 most popular 90s songs on Spotify,
the deadliest animals,
the worst U.S. presidents,
the leading causes of death,
the best-selling video game franchises,
the most common murder methods.
Okay, are you going to give one that isn't about death?
The deadliest jobs in America?
Listen to these and countless other top 10 lists every Wednesday at tennispod.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Top horror villains by their kill count.
I think we're done here.
If you listen to this podcast, there's a good chance you will die.
We are the Tennish Podcast. That's 10ISH. Bye.
So, I was born in Reno, Nevada.
Okay.
My mom almost had me in the elevator of the Reno Circus Circus.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. They were staying there because the doctor had sent her home. She was like, no, you're probably not going to have him tonight. And she just had a feeling. So she got the hotel room across the street, her and my dad. And sure enough, they made it to the hospital in time to the St. Mary's across the street from the Circus Circus.
Oh, wild.
Casino. But she had the feeling. She's like, you probably would have been born in Washoe Valley, which is the town where we live in Carson City. And then there's Reno, and connecting it is Washoe Valley.
Okay.
She's like, you probably would have been born in Washoe Valley on the side of the freeway if we had hotel room.
Right. And if memory serves me well, I've driven that road before. There's not a lot between Carson City and Reno.
There's not a lot. There's getting to be more because they just made like a new freeway through it. I'm not sure how recently you've driven.
Okay. It's been 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah. So there's like there's a new freeway along the mountain that takes it out of the towns, like the road going through the towns.
Sure.
So it's getting more like Carson City is kind of getting to be like a suburb of Reno, but there's still like that desolate patch of like where you just see the like Washoe Lake. You're driving for about 10 minutes along that.
Nevada is just that way. I mean, there's really like, it's one of those places you're just like, okay, let's just pass through. I mean, really no, I mean, people go to Vegas, but I mean, really, if nobody's ever been to Vegas, I mean, you're in this desert and all of a sudden, boom, there's this big city. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're out of the big city. And Reno is kind of the same way. I mean, you're driving down the interstate, you're in it, and then you're going up the Sierra, you know, up the continent or the Dahmer Pass there. And that's about it, you know?
It's exactly.
So do you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
What's funny is people, like I'll say I'm from Nevada and they're like, oh, you go to Vegas all the time. I'm like, no, Vegas is like 8 hours away.
A long ways away from where you're at. Yeah.
Like Nevada might as well be two states. Like it's like, we're closer to San Francisco than we are to Las Vegas.
Sure. Sure. So,
Well, it's funny when like people from like back east, they're like, oh, so you, desolate desert between those two. Like there's a reason everyone cites aliens out there because
that's right.
There's nothing else.
You know, Idaho is kind of the same way. Our deal isn't, we don't have a big massive desert in the middle of our state, but we've got this giant group of mountains and it's basically one of the last untouched wilderness areas in the lower 48 states. So there's no main roads that go through it. So if us Southern Idahoans, which I'm from Idaho Falls, if we want to go to Northern Idaho, we've got to either go all the way through Montana up to the Panhandle, or we've got to drive all the way over to Boise and go up, I think it's Highway 55 up that way. So either way, it's like an 8.5 hour trip just to get up to Coeur d'Alene if we want to do that. So totally understand that. It's just a weird, people back east don't get it when we're talking about how big our states is. They just don't have a comprehension. I mean, they take 2 hours and they're only going through one state in 2 hours, but that's because, you know, it takes them forever to get down the freeway over there. But I mean, the distance is incredible. It's just crazy how big our states are around here. So did you grow up then in Carson City or what?
I grew up, I've spent my whole life here. That's where I'm living now, in Carson City.
Okay.
It's a, obviously, I was saying it's kind of like Reno suburb. It's a little town. It's the capital of Nevada, though. It's one of the smaller capitals in the nation. Let's see here. I think we have a population of like 50,000, 40,000, something like that. So it's like a big small town, I guess you would put it.
Yeah. Yeah. You That's know. About the size of my town. You're about 50,000. Yeah. So, but and it's kind of a Western ish town. If from what I recall driving through it, I mean, they're really kind of big on cowboys and that kind of thing there in Carson City, aren't they?
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah.
And so it is kind of a tourist, tourist attraction type of a city.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, especially like our downtown area. You walk through it and you're like, this is like postcard picture perfect. Like, from there, you're like, oh yeah, I could see where people would want to come and like pretend they're living their small town dreams here.
And then reality sits in when you actually.
And then reality sits in.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your childhood growing up in Carson City. How was it? Was it not good? Was it good? Was it? Do you have siblings? First of all,
I have one brother.
Okay. Older.
So,
younger.
Younger brother.
Okay.
He was born a couple years after me. So we grew up together, did everything together. Let's see here. Our grandma's house where I'm talking to you from right now, where I currently live with my aunt, is 2 blocks away from my parents' house. So we would always like walk over to grandma's house, and grandma was like basically second mom to us. It was like growing up, kind of both these homes were kind of our homes, you know, growing up like that. And then getting into school age, I went to a Christian school for the first 3 years of my school career. It was called Capital Christian, because of Capital City, Carson City, and then Christian. That's where I was told by my kindergarten, was she both my kindergarten or first grade teacher? I think maybe.
It's a small Christian college or school. Only about 5 teachers for the whole school. I get it.
Exactly. Where I was told by, and she was the sweetest lady. I loved her. But even in kindergarten, I remember her telling us that the earth was only 3,000 years old. And even my kindergarten self was like, that doesn't sound right. I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
So even from like an early age, I was always still kind of questioning, like, I don't know if this is my thing.
Yeah.
I remember we had to draw like a color in like a cheetah that was like from the Garden of Eden or whatever, or the Noah's Ark or something like that. And I colored my cheetah rainbow colored, and that should have been rainbow a really color. Big hint of things to come.
All right.
But yeah, that's my kind of my early life. Later on,
Why did you stop going to the Christian school? You said you went there for 3 years.
Why did you stop? In second grade, so I probably went there for only about 2.5 years, but in second grade, or third grade, no, second grade, the school, like you said, they only had like 5 teachers. Mm-hmm. So the school decided to combine a first grade classroom with a second grade classroom.
Oh, okay.
And I was one of the unlucky kids to get in the combined first grade, second grade. So there was only like the 6 of us in the second grade classroom, and then the teacher would teach first grade.
Oh.
And then there was another second grade teacher separate. So she would basically like give us workbooks and then ignore us to go teach the first graders. And this lady, it was a Christian.
Yeah, it was almost like some sort of like a pioneer 1800 schoolhouse, right?
It seemed that way. And this teacher, she didn't even have a teacher's license. Like they just brought her on. They're like, hey, you're in our church, come teach, you know?
Yeah, that tends to be the way with some of those schools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So mom wasn't very impressed with that. And so she pulled me out and I went to the public school, which was just a block away from the house. Initially she was very nervous about me going to public school. I was going to have bad influences put against me apparently. And all that stuff.
The devil's children go there.
Exactly.
Okay. You know, I don't want to make too fun. I consider myself a born again Christian, and I consider Christians my tribe. I mean, I go to church. I've been a youth group leader. I'm on the worship team. So me making fun of Christians is me making fun of myself. It's my tribe. So I totally get it. So I don't want to make anybody or, you know, think that I'm being mean because I'm making fun of myself. So go ahead.
But exactly what you said, kind of, that's what she thought, like the devil's children go there. Exactly that she would say that, but just like she didn't want me having all those bad influences, you know. So she put me in, and then she saw how much I was enjoying it more, just like, you know, having more peers that I could relate to and stuff like that. So then I went to Seeliger for the rest of my elementary school career, and I end up worshiping Satan. So
well, that's a step in the right direction. You know, I'm glad that there was no teacher that you know, made you start doing the Il Cornuto or whatever they call it, and
exactly,
you know, listening to, you know, Dio or something. I don't know. Go ahead.
Listening to the devil,
me right there, right? Yeah, the devil's. Yeah, I'm talking about Dio and AC/DC. And how old am I? Okay, go ahead.
No, that it definitely wasn't that extreme in my household or the school. But
okay, good.
Kind of going back a little reminded me. So we had this PE teacher, another kind of like, hey, you're in the church, come teach. I remember like every week she would come in with McDonald's fries left over from her lunch.
Oh.
And she would sit and eat the McDonald's fries as she watched us run labs. That was my PE. That's cool.
Oh, wow. Okay. Hey, do as I say, not as I do. Right on. Exactly. Okay. Nice. That would be incentive not. If I had a PE teacher like that, I'd be like, no, you need to be running some laps. Just saying. I mean, get off the prize. All right. Oh, my goodness.
That's cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, so I went to Seeliger till fifth grade, and then middle school. Kind of just a normal middle school experience. Like all of a sudden, like you have a rotating class schedule, and I was nervous, and then I liked it. Not much really too eventful in my middle school.
Did you participate in any sports or extracurricular?
I was on the middle school wrestling team in my middle school.
Okay.
I was a very bad wrestler.
Okay. All right.
I could never seem to get someone pinned. Like, I didn't know. I don't know. I just couldn't muster that anger that you need to wrestle to pin someone to the ground.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Yeah, I was never good. And then I was on the wrestling team my freshman year of high school.
Mm-hmm. You must have been good enough to make the team.
It was kind of just a show up and you made it type of wrestling team.
Okay.
I definitely would have been cut from it if there was cuts.
Tell me a little bit about your interaction with other students. I mean, did you get along with everybody? Did you get picked on, or was it just a fun time being in school?
Yeah, I kind of was the type of person that was acquaintances with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone just kind of knew me and liked me.
Just pretty friendly guy.
Yeah.
Good deal.
So
how long was middle school? Was that like 2 years, 3 years? How long was that?
3 years of middle school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so then you hit high school in ninth grade?
Ninth grade, yep. 2009. Yeah.
Okay.
4 year high school. My freshman year, I did wrestling again.
Uh-huh.
And then at that summer camp, my freshman year going into my sophomore year, first year going into second year, in case you have, international listeners, but, what was I saying? I distracted myself. Oh, I was in wrestling camp and the other big kid. So we had two of the heavyweight wrestlers, the other big kid, Jordan Woodward.
Mm-hmm.
Should I say his name? Ah, it's okay. We were obviously paired together and he drove me over and I wasn't trying to like let him do it. And I rolled over and broke my ankle.
Ouch.
In like three places. So it went crunch, crunch.
Ow.
So that was the end of my sucky wrestling career after that summer. I was like, I'm not doing wrestling anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I had my ankle broken for the entire summer and it just sucked.
And that was between what year you said?
Freshman and sophomore year.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it was early on in your high school. So did you end up participating in anything else when you were in high school then besides wrestling?
So... after wrestling, I was on the swim team.
Oh, okay.
I did the swim team for my freshman, sophomore, and junior years.
Mm-hmm.
And in my junior year, I was on the ski team. And I had actually joined the ski team not knowing how to ski.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. And they took you?
And they took me because, again, our school kind of is like, yeah, if you want to participate, we'll accept you.
We'll take you. School. Okay.
Yeah.
So how many students went to your high school then? It doesn't sound like you had very many. I mean.
It's a decent-sized high school because it's the only high school for the town.
Okay.
But they never really had any sports that where you, like, would, like, try out for. The main sports, like football and basketball.
Yeah.
And baseball for them was the three like you try out for these sports. The rest of the sports, they're like they didn't have enough kids that were that interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, if you join, we'll accept you.
Okay.
And the teacher, Adrian Schneider, who taught the oceanography, have you ever seen Magic School Bus?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's like the embodiment of Miss Frizzle, this lady. Okay. She was a great oceanography teacher, just like bubbly and effervescent. She'd have us do like experiments of the oceanography. But anyway, she was the ski team coach.
Mm-hmm.
So when I expressed interest, I was like, look, I don't know how to ski. She's like, oh, I'll teach you.
Wow. And so did she? I mean, was she successful?
She taught me
at
how to ski. Yep. I wasn't a very good skier.
Okay.
Like a lot of, I did sports and I wasn't very good at them, but I did them.
Well, hey, it's better than what I did. I hated the people who played sports. And so I wanted to play, but I never wanted to be around those people because I did not fit in with the jocks. I was a pretty big nerd. And so really I look back and I realized the only person I hurt was myself because I didn't participate in the activities I wanted to participate in. And looking back, man, that was pretty dumb. So
yeah,
good for you.
It's weird for me. Like, if I was in high school now, I would definitely be in the geeky, nerdy, sci-fi, horror type crowd.
Sure.
But in high school, I really didn't have an identity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was closeted. I was closeted gay. And I just didn't feel like I wanted to be myself. So I would just do things and be like, you know, I didn't really have a tribe that I fit into. Like, I would hang out with different people at lunch. Like, when I was in the wrestling team, I would hang out with the wrestlers. When I was in the swim team, I'd go eat lunch with the swim team. When I was on the ski team, I'd go eat lunch with the skiers, you know. When I was not in sports, I'd sometimes eat lunch in the library by myself, or I'd go outside and like play frisbee or something with some kids that I knew. Like, I just kind of, it's weird for me. Like, I knew everybody and everybody knew me and didn't really mind me. I don't know.
Right.
So it was like, I guess it's kind of different high school experience than some people might attribute to high school.
Yeah.
And for me, like, high school was just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would just go to it and I'd be like, okay, this is what I'm doing now.
Right.
You know, I don't have any special memories from it or
attachment or anything like
that. No,
yeah.
Not at all.
I hear you. I mean, the only thing I could say about high school is I'm glad it's over and I never ever want to go back.
Yeah.
And you know, I went to my 20th high school reunion. And I don't know really what possessed me, but I was surprised. I was surprised and then I wasn't surprised that everybody there still was trying to be like they were in high school. They still wanted to do the same cliques. They still wanted to do that same, you know, like, I'm better than you. I don't want to talk to you because you're not, you know. I'm like, wow, here we are in our 30s and you're still acting like you're 17 years old. I just don't understand it. But whatever, if you know, you do you. I am never coming back to one of these reunions ever again, because the only people I ever want to see again are the ones I still keep in touch with. So why would I want to go back to one of those? So
yeah,
I don't know how you feel about high school, but you know what? Reunions are pointless. So
yeah, I haven't been to my first reunion yet. It'll be in 2023 will be my 10 year.
Yeah.
Because I graduated 2013. Let's see here. So yeah, I was on the swim team, ski team, wrestling team.
Yeah.
Those were my kind of three things. And then my senior year was really where things started changing.
Okay.
Because I had kind of come to terms with, oh crap, like, I think I like guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to like guys. That's not right.
Okay.
In my head, you know, small town, I had been told different things. I remember like seeing in my freshman year, two guys like making out in the hallway. And I was like, ooh, no.
Yeah.
You know, being that falsely, like, he doth protest too much type.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Person. I remember telling my mom and dad about it and them just like being like, oh, that's wrong and this and that. Like, they didn't know at the time what they were saying. Like, they since accepted me and accepted, like, getting ahead of myself, but me coming out has made them such more accepting people. That's one of the great things that I love about me coming out. But anyway, rewinding back to my senior year, so I was like, crap, like, I think I like guys. Kind of getting personal here, but I would watch like gay porn and I'd be like, why am I only watching like gay porn? Why am I not into the, you know, the straight side of things? And so I just made a decision. I was like, I'm not going to be gay. You know, I'm not going to be gay. So there was this girl in my psychology class named Amanda, and I could tell she liked me. I got a bit ahead of myself because I was a junior and she was a senior.
Okay.
So my junior year, I was contemplating all this and I was like, I'm just not going to be gay.
Sure.
So I started dating Amanda. And yeah, we had fun. We were friends, like mm-hmm. as two friends are. But that's the thing. We are only friends. Yeah. And I didn't know why I couldn't move past that barrier. Mm-hmm. Like, in my mind, I had decided not to be gay. So why couldn't I, like, do things with her, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we were together for about a year, and a year comes up, and she's like, why the F won't you do anything with me? Like,
yeah.
What's happening? And I was like, I honestly don't know. This is where I have to warn your listeners, viewer discretion advised. Okay. So we got, I was like, hey, I'll try something. I'll try doing something with you. So I remember she was like, well, we could try, like, you know, you like fingering me or whatever. And I was like, okay. And I remember, like, her pulling down her pants or whatever, mm-hmm. and me like looking at it and going in, and I just go, I gagged.
Wow.
At the sight of, I don't know, of me doing that potentially. And then then when she was like, what the heck? Like, what was that? And I was like, I can't do this. And I ran off. I got in my car and I went home. And that night I was just like, I don't know what that was. And that following morning I broke up with her. I was like, I don't know what this is or what's wrong with me, but I think I might like guys. And that really broke her heart. And we went our separate ways, and that's kind of how I started coming out. The problem is with that was, again, smaller town. Right. So she had a mom that worked for the state. So obviously, because she called her mom, she was sad. Her mom worked for the state. And while they're in different departments, all different departments, both my parents work for the state.
Oh, okay.
So as you can imagine, her mom told people in her office who told other people who were friends. And before I could come out to anyone else on my terms, everybody knew.
Okay. So including your parents?
Including my parents.
Seriously. So you didn't even get the chance to tell your parents what was going on before they found out from people at work, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's awful.
Wow. It was a horrifying experience.
Sure.
To have my mom calling me, and she's like, why did you break up with your girlfriend? You're not gay. What is happening?
Yeah.
And I kind of was caught off guard, but I said, yeah, mom, I am. She goes, I don't know how you could possibly know that. But I was like, I do know that, you know, mm-hmm. I deep down, I know this to be true. So this all happens over the summer, me breaking up with her, everybody finding out. I'm going into my senior year, and we decide, me and Amanda, to just be friends.
Right.
We're just going to be friends, because we genuinely liked each other as friends. Like,
so she still wanted to be friends with you even after mm-hmm. this.
Even after. Okay. Yeah. And I felt really guilty. I was like, of course I'll be friends with you. Like, okay. I'd love that. Problem is she still had a lot of feelings there
mm-hmm.
for me, and where I had moved on. And unfortunately, she was probably one of the worst people to come out to, because she was a very conservative, very one-track mind, like, it's this way. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a Christian, so I don't accept you, but hate the sin, love the sinner
mm-hmm.
type of thing. And throughout the year, we would be friends. Like, we would We would do geocaching together. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah, sure.
Like that was kind of like our hobby. Mm-hmm. We would take hikes. We would go to the lake. We have a cool Lake Tahoe up, like really close, like 15-minute drive.
Right.
If your listeners don't know, look up Lake Tahoe. It's beautiful, and I recommend everybody go there. Anyway.
Yeah.
But she would always make like little snide, like remarks.
Oh,
like,
I see.
Oh, like. Just like how you broke up with me because you're gay, like in parentheses. And I was like, and I'd be like, eventually I was like, you can't keep making those comments if we're going to continue being a friend, like if we're going to continue being friends. And she wasn't having any of that. She took our 2-year relationship, whatever it was, a friendship or boyfriend, girlfriend. And over 2 years, you tell someone you're close to a lot of personal things.
Mm-hmm.
And she took that and just brought it back up and spilled it right back on my face.
Really?
Like everything that made me feel insecure and everything that made me feel like, yeah, basically insecure. She used that as ammo because she was hurt that I would want to stop being friends with her. Mm-hmm. And that was the end of the senior year where I finally told her I can't be friends with you. And that happened. And that was a very defining moment of my life because then I decided, no, I'm tired of hiding this because as much as a lot of people knew in the town, like a lot of adults, I just was like, I came out to everyone. Like I wrote on Facebook, I was like, I'm gay. This is who I am. I'm not pretending anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So from that, I guess, tragedy, I was very much, when I graduated high school, a new person. Like, I look back at that person in high school, and I don't see me.
Right, right.
Anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's kind of my... my early life, I guess, if you want to say that, my high school career.
So how have things been since high school? Like you said, you're a different person than you were in high school. So do you find that you said your parents have come around and they mm-hmm. are truly accepting of you? And it sounds like they've probably changed their attitudes of being accepting in general.
Very much so.
Good thing. Great. What about the rest of the community as a whole? Have they? Do you still find pushback from people in your life, or do you find most people are like, hey, yeah, Caleb is who he is. Great. Let's hang out.
I found, surprisingly, for all I was scared of coming out in high school,
mm-hmm.
most everybody in my life has been truly amazing. Okay. Like even people I wouldn't think would be so accepting. They look at me and they've told me like, you're such an amazing person. How could I not accept you for whatever mm-hmm. you are,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that just, I feel really honored to have that support system within my life. Yeah. Like my parents came around. I kind of had to come out to them again because it was a very like, you're not gay. We're not going to talk about this anymore when they first heard about it through like the rumors or whatever.
Yeah.
So I kind of like, I came out to them again. I was like, you know, you guys, someday, I'm going to bring home like a guy to Thanksgiving. Like,
yeah. it's
going to happen someday. And they were finally like, you know, okay. And a lot of my friends has helped with them accepting that because, some of my friends like, are coworkers with my parents mm-hmm. now because mm-hmm. they have gotten jobs with the state. And they, I guess, they really love to sing my praises. Like, oh, like, your son is such a cool person, such a good friend. Like, and I think that's helped them be like, oh, we can accept him for him, you know?
Yeah.
Because his friends see him this way. So
right.
Of course we'll accept him.
Right. Sure. I mean, your sexual orientation does not change who you are inside. It's part of you, right?
Exactly. I mean,
it's not, you weren't this way and now you're this way. You're who you are, period. Mm-hmm. And obviously you sound like you've got fantastic character. And like you said, everybody loves you and that's great. And I'm glad that people are, especially in a place like Carson City, in a good conservative state, you know, it feels like you've found some acceptance and that's really awesome.
Especially within by, and I guess our generation.
Sure. Yeah.
Super like just, you know, we're going to love you for you.
Right.
You know, we don't mind what you do. As long as you're not hateful against others, we're going to accept you. And that's been really helpful. I don't know how I would have came out if I had been coming out in the 80s, 90s, or even 2000s. It would have been much harder.
Absolutely.
And I feel for guys that had to come out in that time.
Oh, you bet. And well, I mean, you look at the struggles that that they've had to go through. I can't even remember the, basically it was like a riot. What was the name of that riot? It was back in the 70s. I can't think of it. Or maybe it was early 80s. Anyways. Which one? I'm sorry. You blacked out there for a second.
Stonewall?
Yes, Stonewall, right? I mean, there was that whole thing, and then there's Harvey Milk in San Francisco. I mean, all of these major things that I mean, it's a struggle, just like, you know, just like the African-Americans have struggled in this country. It's been the same thing with the LGBTQ community and the struggles they've had to go through. And it's still that way. Matthew Shepard in the mid-90s, that kind of thing. And you know, as I said, my tribe is the born again Christian tribe. Right. And so I've been in that world for a very long time. I became a Christian when I was in high school and bought into, you know, I guess you could say some of the nonsense that we were talking about earlier. But I've had a paradigm shift on a lot of ways, including, you know, how I feel about homosexuality. And to this day, I know there are people within my community still, within the church I go to, that would completely disagree with me and think that I'm burning in hell because of my stance on homosexuality. Right.
Yeah.
For some reason, it feels like it's a hill that Christians, evangelical Christians specifically, are willing to die on. And I can't figure it out to save my life. I'm like, why? Why is this such a hill that you're willing? There are so many more important things to worry about as a society and as a Christian than who somebody goes to bed with. Come on, people. Gee whiz. Anyway, that's me. All right, I'm done. Get off my soapbox. But
that was a good rant. I liked that.
It's just mind-boggling to me. It really, really is. But anyway, and I've had to keep my mouth, you know, to a certain point, quiet, because if I continued to go to the church that I go to, which I love my church that I go to, and I've been in leaderships of, like I said, being in youth leadership, there are times where I can only say so much because of that. You know what I mean? And that's frustrating to me.
That's,
I wish that wasn't the case, but it is. So, but I'll stop. Let's move on just a little bit now.
Yeah, of course.
Well, first of all, did you go to college or what have you done since
high school? So right after I graduated high school in 2013 and all that stuff that we just talked about happened, I went right into college to my local college, WNC.
I'm glad you didn't say you went to Nevada, Reno, because I would have been like, okay, conversation's over. Sorry, I'm a big Boise State fan, and I'm not a big fan anymore.
I have attended University of Nevada, Reno.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, conversation. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
But I got my degree, my associates. I have two associates, Associate of General Studies and Associate of Arts through WNC. While I was there, I helped semi-found because I don't know anything that's going on with it right now, but the Gay Straight Alliance at WNC.
Okay.
And we tried to work with University of Nevada, Reno's Gay Straight Alliance to kind of create events. After I got my associate's degree, like I said, I went up to UNR, so I kind of lost touch with that. And then when I went back to WNC to get my second associate's degree, I didn't hear anything about it. And I didn't really want to spend that time to, you know, it takes a lot of time to run a program.
Right.
So I helped kind of semi-found that I'd like to eventually reinstate that. If it's not still going on, I'm not sure what they're doing with it right now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I got more into my writing, my wanting to do something with that, wanting to be able to travel. And that's kind of where I'm at now as a 25-year-old man.
Okay.
Trying to find my way, basically, in yep. life. Like, kind of having my second teenage years. Because, like I said, I was closeted
sure.
in my teenage years. Mm-hmm. And now I'm, like, I don't know, trying to refigure out who I am and what right. life is.
Right. But you know what? I'm 46 years old, and I'm still trying to figure out what to do with my life. So, you know what? Some of us are just destined to wander.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that's definitely me. After I graduated, obviously with the whole Amanda thing, it really sprung up a lot of depression and anxiety for me. Going into life and this fear of, if I am who I am, people will abandon me.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've definitely had a couple cases of.
Sure.
One with a best friend / roommate, not for the same situation. She fully accepted me as, you know, my sexuality and stuff, but just we couldn't see, I guess, eye to eye when we started living together, and she ended up having me kicked out. And that's a whole other story that would take too long. But I am definitely an encourager for going to therapy and taking medicine if you need it for problems you may have. I started going to therapy kind of right after college in 2013, and I was placed on antidepressants. And since then, I don't think I would be here without therapy and antidepressants.
That's good.
I don't think so. To anyone out there that is struggling, that you think you're alone, that you think you might be worried that you're trying to hide who you are, that you're struggling with anxiety or depression or ADHD, please, like, seek someone else out to help because they help.
Right.
It takes a lot of work to work on yourself. I've been working on myself since I've been 18, trying to figure out who I am and trying to get rid of these negative thoughts that I have against myself. And therapy has 100% helped. That's one thing I want to work more on and ending that stigma of is people going to therapy and taking antidepressants.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no shame in that.
No, there really isn't.
That's what I figured out since I've been 18, because I was really against it at first, being like, no, I don't have anything wrong with me. But having that someone unobjectively to talk to just helps so much. If there's any lesson that I've taken from my 25-year life, it's that never be afraid to reach out for help.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. It's absolutely true. And I haven't been put on any medicines, but to actually just go out and get some therapy, I always felt like, man, I was strong or whatever, and I didn't need it. So, I mean, it was only a couple of years ago that I finally decided that I started, you know, that I needed some therapy. So kudos to you to recognize that when you're 18. I mean, I was just a floundering kid when I was 18. That I'm just, and looking back, I was a floundering kid when I was 30, you know? So I'm just amazed at, the maturity that took. I mean, for you to reach out and get some therapy if you needed it and understanding that fact, that's pretty, pretty impressive. So kudos.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I'm always a big advocate because I'll post on my Facebook, like, just had a really good there. I go to therapy weekly now, because of some issues that have recently came up, and just my general depression, anxiety fluctuates from day to day. So I have to, you know, really monitor that.
Right.
And I post on Facebook, and I find it, it really encourages people to see someone they know talking openly about that.
That's true.
Because so much in their life, they're like, they don't see that. And that's why I'm such an advocate for that.
Right.
Anyway, moving on from that, about last year, I've really gotten into my podcast.
Yeah.
Which is The Paranormal Burrito.
First of all, before we go any deeper on your podcast, I want to know, where did you come up with the title of that podcast?
So everyone always asks me, and all it was a random name generator.
Oh, really? That's it.
So it was like a random band name generator. And I typed in, it was like, type in the keyword. So I was like, well, I know my podcast is going to be about ghosts. So I was like, paranormal ghosts plus, plus a noun or something.
Uh-huh.
And then it was like, here's the categories. And I was like, the paranormal something blank food. I was like, maybe. So I clicked on food and it was like, the paranormal burrito question mark. I was like, that's the name of my podcast. I don't know why. It sounds great. And I went with it.
That's pretty impressive. No, that works great. And your artwork that I've seen is pretty impressive. And the jingle that you have recently started using is really good.
I love it.
Really good.
I commissioned Katie Buchdevine for the logo that you see. She's the greatest artist and a really good friend.
Good.
I actually met her in WNC when I had gone to a Comic-Con dressed as the fourth Doctor from Doctor Who.
Oh, nice.
That next year, actually your last podcast, I was listening to it and the guy really liked Doctor Who. I want to get in touch with him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a cool
dude. He was talking about that a lot.
Yeah. Reach out to him. He'd love to talk to you.
Oh gosh. Now I lost my train of thought. Cause whenever Doctor Who comes up, I'm like, I'm going to talk about all that. Doctor Who actually really got me through coming out as gay and being more accepting of myself, to be honest. That show like really, it holds a special place in my heart because I watched it during that time where I was such in a tumultuous place, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Anyway, I was dressed as the fourth Doctor, and that year later I took a watercolor class and Katie was in it and she kept like staring at me throughout the class. And I was like, what is this? She's going to hear this and laugh. It's like, what is this creep doing? Like staring at me across the way. And she comes up to me after class and she goes, this sounds really weird. Did you dress as the fourth Doctor in the Comic-Con in Reno? And I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I did. She's like, I painted you.
Oh, wow. Like,
what? She goes, yeah, I like to paint like candid pictures and your cosplay was so awesome. And she painted me in that cartoon fashion that you see on the Paranormal Burrito logo.
Sure.
And it was just so cute. And we've been friends ever since.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. That's great.
So,
so you have an interest in the paranormal and that's, and so you decided, hey, I want to go into this podcast line. How did you get interested in podcasts?
So there is, I started listening to a lot of podcasts, probably about around the time I started it, maybe a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. I started with like your basic, like NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. That's what really got me into the podcast start with. Because I was working as a customer service representative for a glassware place. And I know this will shock you, but working as a customer service representative for a glassware place is very boring. I know. Crazy. So I got into podcasts to just kind of get me through that day, get me through that 8-hour shift of just customers calling and yelling and emailing customers that were yelling about broken glassware. So I would listen to podcasts to get me through the day. Started again with Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, because I just had NPR playing one day and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me came up. And then from there, like Paula Poundstone made appearances and then she announced her podcast and I went into her podcast, and then her podcast was on the Max Fun Network, and all the Max Fun Network shows are just freaking fabulous.
So you
and
just I got into the rabbit hole of podcasts.
Exactly. Yeah. I went down the rabbit hole of podcasts.
Nice.
And eventually I found this guy podcast we listened to, and I got in his group. And I was like, hey, I'm kind of interested in the paranormal. I've discovered I really like podcasts in this past year. What recommendations? And I was recommended to this British couple, which I've since interviewed them on my podcast. They're good friends, but at first they were like, listen to Knock Once for Yes. They're a paranormal podcast. They're fabulous. And I listened to it. I was like, completely agree. These people are fabulous. I love them. And they had a whole episode with the podcast we listened to, gentlemen, where they were like, you know, you might feel intimidated because everybody and their dog has a podcast to start one. But they said at the and their cat. But they go, you know, if you really enjoy it and if you really want to get into it, you'll find an audience
it. That's right.
And I was like, I know nothing about this, but I had gotten a mic a couple years before because I was toying with the idea of getting into it. And then the mic kind of went up on a shelf and started gathering dust. This one I'm talking into now. With a Christmas Best Buy gift card that was on sale for the day after Christmas type of sales. And I got down the mic. I blew the dust off of it, both literally and metaphorically. And and I was like, I'm going to try this. And they really encouraged me to try it. I messaged them and they told me kind of what they do and how they produce it. And they're like, look, put out your first episode, let it suck. And I was like, all right, And I put out my first episode and I was like, you know, it does kind of suck, but it's not too bad. And I had fun interviewing my guests. So,
you know what?
Now here I am. Now here I am nearly 30 episodes later. And I'm like, I freaking love this. I love the podcast community. I love the paranormal community. I love the horror community. It's just been such a fun time and such another way of me accepting, of me finding acceptance within a community, which is so important to me because of my anxieties going back to coming out and Amanda and my parents kind of not being fully accepting at first, finding a community that's in turn accepting and just so kind, like you interviewing me now, or Paige from her true crime podcast. It's just, I love being accepted into a community. I love having a place, as anybody does, of belonging.
Absolutely.
And that's what encourages me to keep going. I'll probably be doing this podcast for as long as I can. So
that's great. Well, and I listened to your podcast, and like I said, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I listened to the most recent episode that you had produced.
Dorian Deffley? Was that him?
No, actually, no. it was a lady that was, so maybe it wasn't your most recent one.
I just put out one, so you might have listened to it before. Was it Nicole? Was that her name?
It may have been it. Yeah, yeah.
That's okay. You don't have to think of who
but
it was.
Yeah. Anyway, it was. I mean, I enjoyed the podcast. I thought it was, you were a good interviewer. I thought you did a great job. So, and you know what? It really like that those people gave you the advice of putting out a podcast and just letting it suck. And and even if you don't find an audience, and let me tell you, it's hard to find an audience because everybody and their dog has a podcast, and so to get known, to get seen, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. It's not easy, but you have to enjoy it, which it sounds like you do. And honestly, you have to do it for yourself, because even if nobody listens to the podcast, you still have to enjoy it yourself. Cause if you don't, what's the point, right? You know?
And that was my motto starting out. I was like, this is just going to be a hobby for me and something that I enjoy doing and something that, I was talking about my 2 degrees. My second degree I was going to school for social work, and then the pandemic hit. Right about the time I was going to start going to school for social work and then find a job to help support school. So I've been unemployed since then. That's why I'm living at my now aunt's house. So I don't have to, you know, be too financially responsible for things. But this podcast has really been a godsend in helping keep my mind active and talking to different people, because as I'm sure you and everybody else in the world is aware, the pandemic is fucking horrible. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know if I can curse on your podcast.
Look, there's an edit button that I can fix that if I need to. All not worry there. No worries. No, it's problem. I try to keep a clean rating on iTunes, but it's not a problem. I mean, there's editing tools for that kind of stuff, so it's no worries. This is only one. I had one guy. He most craziest story you've ever heard of. I can't remember the guy. I think it was Neil. Anyways. This guy like had kidnapped a princess, and I mean, just crazy nuts stories, but he dropped the F-bomb about every 5 seconds. It took me hours to edit that podcast to get him out. I mean, if you drop it's fine. If you drop one or two, it's not a big deal. Generally, I won't even edit them out because it doesn't seem like iTunes cares that too much. But boy, if it's like a completely curse laden
podcast, it's like
delete. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. Yeah. And I'm one who likes to just edit as little as possible if I can. Mm-hmm. So I really want things to go as smoothly. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It depends on what happens. Sometimes I have terrible connections with the person and you've got to edit out all the noise. And yeah, it's amazing what comes up with a podcast. But again, I truly enjoy your podcast and I wish you nothing but success in that podcast and any of the other ventures that you have, whether it be with other podcasts or in your professional career or maybe art or whatever, and writing and whatever you do, that's awesome.
Definitely, yeah. Oh. Being creative is another thing I kind of pride myself on. So anything that keeps my mind, like I said, active and me creative is ideal for me.
And
talking to other humans helps me
yeah. creative. You know what? Especially during the pandemic, it's important that we do that.
Exactly.
Well, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Caleb, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I thank you so much for joining us here on Everyone Has a Story.
Thank you so much for having me.
Caleb Shadeck on Everyone Has a Story. Thank you so much, Caleb, for calling into the studio and sharing a few minutes with us to tell us about your amazing story. Thank you so much. And if you guys want to find out a little bit more about Caleb's podcast, then you need to go check out the show notes. It is called The Paranormal Burrito, and it is an amazing podcast, and I highly, highly recommend it. You can find it on any podcast platform that you use, whether it's Spotify, Google, or Apple. You can find it everywhere. And if you would like to share your story here on Everyone Has a Story, I would love to listen to it. Please shoot me a text, an email, whatever you got. You can email me at knateradio@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter at knateradio. You can also find me on Facebook at Everybody's Got a Story. Heck yeah. And everybody does have a story, right? Right. That's right. This podcast does not exist unless we have people like you that are willing to do so. So this is Nate Wade. I hope you check us out. I hope you call me because I want to hear your story. Right on? Right on. You guys have a wonderful week. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. This is Nate Wade saying have a great week. Bye-bye.